Blog Talk Radio.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle love. You climb my wall, break down my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. I wanna get you out on the floor and dance until my feet are numb. And when you get close, it's like rubber in my bones. And by the look in your eyes, you're melting down into the safe zone. Hey, hey, people say you're wild and unpredictable.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Judy Joy Jones Show. I'm so happy you're here today. We are excited because we have an especially exciting guest, which we often do. We're very lucky at Blog Talk Radio to be able to scare some of the best people on the earth as far as I'm concerned. You are listening to the song Let's Play. Let's Play is by 13-year-old Amelia Bloom. She's a singing sensation in Australia, and she was on my show last year when I first started this show, and she's just delightful. I love that song because it's great fun, and I think our guest today is going to be the same way, and I thought, that fits. I am going to tell you a little bit about Ken Tucker. Ken Tucker is an author, and I'm looking at his book right here, and his picture's on the cover. Also, on the description page of our show, you can see his book, and you can also click on it and buy it right then and there. It's for sale through Amazon.com, and I'm sure many other places. The name of his book, Are You Fascinated? The Four People You Need to Succeed. The Four People You Need to Succeed. I want to know who they are and how to get them. So I'm going to bring him up really quickly. He is actually, he's published now by a Daily Swan Publishing Company, and he is a groundbreaking management consultant. He works with such companies as Yahoo, which is no little guy, and he has partnerships spanning the globe from the United States to Hong Kong, South Africa, Brazil, United Kingdom, to name but a few. And I want to thank very much his agent, Shameen Canton, for presenting Ken Tucker to me. I am just really pleased that she did that. what also I'd like to say is that Kim actually was self-published, and then Daily Swan Publisher saw his book, I guess through his beautiful agent, Shameen, and he immediately signed him on. So that just turned me on. I've heard so many people say, oh, I just can't self-publish, blah, blah. But he did, and look what's happened. He's now actually with a bona fide big publisher. So I'm going to get him to talk about that. I'm already fascinated. I hope this is him on the board. Let's bring him on. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Judy. Ken Tucker.
Hey there. How are you today?
Very good. Very good.
Welcome to the show, Ken. I'm so happy to have you.
I am very, very glad. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight, and thank you for the intro, and thank you for the rousing music beginning. I love the story connected with that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I noticed that you called in with a little bit of a different number, and I quickly was going, oh, no, no. But I figured, that's him. That's got to be him. And
yes.
Yeah, would you like to, give us a little bit on your background, like where you grew up and kind of, a little bit, a brief summary of what led you to where you are now?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you could hear, I have a southern Nebraska accent, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, right. I did spend a decade, about 11 years in Nebraska, some of the best years as an adult in my life, as I was both attending school and working. And I like to, give kudos to the Nebraskans who may be listening to your show tonight. They are wonderful people. But I was born in Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh.
And later in life was convinced by a friend of mine who is featured in the book, Henry O'Brien, to come back to school and to go to Nebraska. His mandate and promise to me was, go to Nebraska. Nebraska will be good for you, and you'll be good for Nebraska. And that won me over.
Huh.
Can you believe that? And
yeah.
That's how I ended up there. But that's a part of the story, and it certainly has some interesting twists there in Nebraska, as we illustrate in the book. But through that Nebraska connection,
mm-hmm.
The Gallup organization hired me. I got in touch with the Gallup organization, and they liked me, and they hired me. And in hiring me, they quickly helped me to identify some strengths that I possessed that I was aware of but wasn't quite fully aware of, and they brought me into some maturity around those strengths, among which was certainly my desire and appetite to think and to write. And so my first book I wrote while I was at the Gallup organization is entitled Animals, Inc., A Business Parable for the 21st Century, and Warner Books published that one. And then while I was with the Gallup organization, of course, I was developing more ideas for Gallup, et cetera, and recognized that there was a piece
mm-hmm.
that wasn't being fully addressed at Gallup. They talked about employees, they talked about managers, they talked about leaders, and studied those groups, but was not zeroing in on individual passion. Yes, we had employee engagement, but we didn't get to a place where we can turn loose the individual. Their work focused on as small as groups of five and larger, but not individuals. And I saw an opportunity and a need to focus our attention on what really gets people up and going during the day. And so I then founded my company, Kentuck & Associates, on the premise that fascinated employees provides our greatest return on investment. And that was the seed thought for this present book. That was the seed thought. That there is this fascination that you could identify. And then when we went to research on it, we discovered joy, Judy Joy.
Mm-hmm. Joy's fine.
Joy's fine. Uh-huh. What we discovered was that all of us live our lives, as it were, in the context of a continuum that at one end of the continuum is fascination, at the other end of the continuum is frustration. we find ourselves any given day somewhere along that continuum.
Absolutely.
You see? And I started looking specifically as I would approach a new client, as I got on campus with them, like with Yahoo, for example. Once I got on campus with Yahoo,
yes,
and I met the two founders, I was kind of looking to see what is the ambience around them, what was the aura around them. And I'll tell you, it was interesting because these two guys,
mm-hmm,
you know, were still very much fascinated
10 years
later. And I remember I met them when Yahoo was in existence 10 years. And as we were talking, they had 10 years, all right? And
right,
10 years and $10 billion, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm standing there talking to them, and they said to me, I said, what led you to Yahoo? What led you to this? And they said,
uh-huh,
the truth is, Ken, we were just playing around on the computer. We were just fiddling on the computer.
Yep.
But they became fascinated. They were fascinated with the computer. Then they became fascinated with how people were responding to their product. And so that, again, is another example of the fact. The fact is, Joy, that when people are fascinated, they tap into a different part of their persona than they do when they are frustrated.
Okay.
That when we are fascinated, we tap in naturally and almost unknowingly into that creative, free ideation part of us. We begin to have ideas that we couldn't premeditate, but that flow out of us. So as you read the book, you'll find that that's what we focus on. We focus on people who obviously are living fascinated lives and in turn fascinating others through their lives.
Interesting. And the secret you're saying, I mean, here are the two founders of Yahoo, and even after 10 years, Ken, they were fascinated with
Absolutely.
Their jobs.
Absolutely fascinated. Absolutely. You know, and we find that everywhere we go, Joy, there are
uh-huh.
those people who are the epitome of fascination, and then there are those people, sadly to say, who are the epitome of frustration.
Yes. At every turn. And would you, as far as a company, now I'm just using Yahoo as an example since you know something about them, Ken, would you say that they were able to get where they were by also hiring the type of people that remain more fascinated than frustrated?
Absolutely. And you know, that's an important idea you're addressing there. Companies that succeed and will succeed into the 21st century,
yeah,
are those companies that will create an environment where people come to work to be fascinated and to fascinate. All right? I was in South Africa with one of the clients that I work with there.
Uh-huh.
I'm in South Africa. I'm sitting with a young woman by the name of Kamu, K-A-M-U.
Okay.
All right? And she's answering calls from the U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's handling these calls,
mm-hmm,
all right, she's done with three calls. I turned to her, Joy, and I said, Kamu, what are you learning?
Mm-hmm.
Kamu turns to me and she smiles a little bit. She says, I'm learning that Americans are demanding people.
Oh.
That's really fair to me. And she's smiling, then she smiles wider. And she says, and I'm learning that I am like that also.
Ah, okay. Knowing herself.
You see it? And she is fascinated by this realization. Absolutely fascinated. But what was even more fascinating for me,
uh-huh,
Joy, is when I heard the rest of her story. The rest of her story is she's a 19-year-old.
Right.
She and her 9-year-old brother had just moved to Soweto. Okay, now I don't know if you've ever been to South Africa.
No,
right?
I haven't.
Soweto is a shanty town. 75% of the houses there are built out of scrap metal or cardboard boxes, whatever people could find to put a shelter over their heads.
Oh.
No running water, no light, no toilet, no, not inside toilet. So
uh-huh.
she and her brother, 9-year-old brother, just moved to Soweto to live with their grandparents. Why? Because both parents had died from AIDS.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I
Here
do.
She's sitting on one of the best, most modern business campuses I've been on anywhere in the world. She's well-dressed. She's professional. She's handled
uh-huh.
those three calls remarkably.
Uh-huh.
And she's sitting there, and what is she saying, and what is she demonstrating? Fascination.
Fascination. Enthusiasm. In the middle of all of it, she's absolutely
right.
Fascinated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in these trying and difficult times that many of us are going through,
yes.
All right,
yes.
We have a choice. We can live lives easily that are frustrated and marked as such. And when we are frustrated, everybody around us knows.
Oh, yeah.
Or we could live lives that are fascinated. And likewise, when we are fascinated, people around us know and they catch it. Joy, they catch it. It's infectious.
It is.
It's contagious.
I was looking at your video. It's kind of long for me to say the whole name of it, but I have it right there on the description page. It's wonderful, Ken. I guess, is it a YouTube or it's Ken? It's, I think I got it off of your website.
Yeah, it's easy to go to ktawebsite.com. You could abbreviate it as ktawebsite.com.
.com.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because you come across with this huge amount of energy, and, you know, I was just motivated watching you for 5 seconds. I can imagine you in a room with a lot of people.
Well, I'll tell you, Joy, this is real. I mean, I was born on an island 21x7.
Oh.
Okay? And I grew up, I was poor, but I didn't know I was poor. You know that kind of way?
Sure.
You know, my toys were all handmade toys. You know, my favorite toy was the discarded bicycle wheel with the spokes taken out. And what we did was we fashioned the tool into out of a clothes rack, I think you call them here. You know, the laundry gives you a clothes hanger with every shirt you take there. We used to take that clothes hanger and turn it into a tool. All right, that was a part of the toy that we then played with, which was, of course, the discarded wheel of a bicycle. Okay?
Wow.
My first set of clothes for my school to attend elementary school was made out of Purina chicken chow bags.
Oh, my gosh. That's like Dolly Parton's song, Coat of Many Colors, all the scraps together.
I'm telling you, that's right. You know what I mean? So when I look at, you know, my beginnings and my joining,
right.
I am fascinated. I am fascinated by certainly what God has done, but I'm fascinated as well by the wonderful and extraordinary opportunities I've been given.
I was looking. Now, you were adopted. Is that right, Kim?
That's right. Absolutely. I can remember the day. I was
three years old.
My mom pulls up, you know, with her then boyfriend.
Okay.
A Volkswagen Beetle. And I jump out of that Volkswagen Beetle with a pillowcase filled with my earthly goods to be adopted by my mom's sister and husband who didn't have any children.
Huh.
I remember the day. And, you know, this is amazing. I just this week, a day ago, returned from the Bahamas, where we were burying my 97-year-old grandmother. Okay? And it was amazing to be there. Why? Because I was sitting there with all my siblings and families and realizing that I had been carved out of that group. I did not share their experience with my grandmother. Why? Because I had been adopted into a totally different family. So there were four brothers at the time, all right? The two oldest were given to my grandmother, who was buried this weekend, and the one after me were given to my grandmother, but not me. So those three went and had that experience, and I'm sitting there, and I'm acutely aware how different an experience we had.
Wow, absolutely. And you didn't have any idea that you were, like you said, Ken, you were chosen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were chosen. You were special. You had a special destiny to fulfill, or maybe everyone does, depending on, although I think your circumstances led, the way what I understand is the right people crossed your path, right teachers.
That's right. You know, I think the old adage, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes.
You know? It's certainly true for all of us. The problem with us is that the teacher appears, and many times we are not ready. Either we are insensitive to the need that we have, unaware of the need we have, preoccupied with all kinds of things that are not pertinent to the situation. You know, but many times, Joy, we miss the people who are placed in our lives for our development and for us to become all that we can be. And that's certainly the premise of this book. The fascination that I speak of is not fascination as merely an external fleeting event, but the fascination I'm speaking of is an internal event that then comes to the surface, that impacts our interaction with others, and in turn is initiated many times by our relationship with other people. And that's why we talk about, you know, are you fascinated, the four people you need to succeed, because there are four distinct types of persons
that
all of us rub shoulders with, interact with, that we may not be aware of.
All right.
Or we may be one of those four persons in the lives of others, or we may have been called to be one of those four persons, or any one of those four persons, all right, to others, and we are missing those opportunities.
And can you actually give me a name of each of those four people?
Yes.
Like what their role is, Ken?
Okay, so the first person, and they're hierarchical. This is hierarchical, all right?
Okay.
It really builds, okay? So the first individual that we need to succeed is a person I refer to as the expert people picker.
Expert people picker, okay.
The expert people picker. Now, all of us, Joy, all of us are people pickers.
Mm-hmm.
We choose our friends from earliest age, you know? We choose the people who we spend most of our time with, if not our lifetimes with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We choose indirectly, you know, our managers by choosing the jobs that we accept or reject, you know?
Yeah.
So we have people pickers, all right? The challenge with most of us is that most of us suffer from broken people pickers. Broken people pickers. Many times we haven't chosen as well.
Okay.
You know, and people that we chose, all right, fail us, disappoint us, betray us, and we find ourselves, you know, it's almost like, you know, I'm the adult child of alcoholic parents. Okay, I'm aware that I have some experiences that incline me to be attracted to some of the dangers and some of the risks and some of the things that attend to that experience, you know, because that's what I'm used to. I have that bent, so I'm aware of that. I'm looking out for that. But many people have broken people pickers. We are not very good at choosing the people that are best for us.
Okay, so that would be the number one, is learning how to be a good people picker. Go ahead.
Or Joy, partnering with an expert people picker.
Doing what?
Or partnering with an expert
partnering.
Yes. Yeah, having an expert people picker, you know, friend or relative.
Okay.
So right now, there are probably a lot of females listening to the show. All right? And they're sitting there, and they're nodding their heads, and they say, man, you're hitting it right on the head. That's me. Well, a big part, the next time you choose somebody, all right, make sure you've identified who is the expert people picker in your life and partner with them around that guy, around that gal, all right? Partner with them. Let them help you. Why? Because these people are there for us. For example, if I asked you right now to just think back in your memory, Joy, as far back as you can, think of some adult that made a positive impression upon you. Does anybody come to mind?
Oh, yes.
Who comes to mind?
Mother Teresa of Calcutta, India.
How's that?
I followed her around the world for a long time, and she taught me so many things.
What just happened in 10 seconds?
She was one of the I did pick an expert people picker in Mother Teresa. That was my main attribute. I haven't always done that, but she, to me, I did pick that one good.
Isn't that interesting? And
yes.
not only that, guess what? She chose you. You said, I learned a lot from her. That's what expert people pickers do for us. They spot in us, Joy, long before we may have spotted it ourselves. They spot in us. They see in us what we can be, what we can become.
Well, we can.
That's right. Go ahead.
And what, because of our time, I want to get to number two.
Okay. So now, expert people pickers, this is the first one. Parents can be expert people pickers. Siblings can be expert people pickers. Teachers, doctors, all these people we interact with, ministers, you know, the Mother Teresa's of the world, they can all be expert people pickers in our lives, but we have to be what? We have to be looking for them. We have to be aware of them.
That's wonderful. Repeat that.
We have to be looking for them.
Looking for the expert people, having our minds open to let them come in. They could be before us.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes they say things, you know, it's me. You know, when my expert people picker, as I detail in the book, came into my life, I was running with a makeshift gang.
Oh.
I was getting into trouble. I was on my way to where many of my friends ended up. Some of them ended up in prison on death row for killing people.
Oh, my God.
My best friend that I talk about in the book, he ended up in jail and then dying in jail from spinal meningitis. Okay? But my expert people picker. Sorry?
I can't even believe it, talking to you, that you even were involved with that.
And absolutely. And my expert people picker came into my life. And I was only a 14-year-old kid at the time, but already on the wrong road. He came into my life, Father Aaron Kraft.
Okay.
He knew that I was on probation in high school. I had to take a sheet around to every class for every teacher to say he was okay today, he could stay in school. He knew all of that, and yet he zeroed in on me, and he began to work with what he saw me to have. And in spite of my reputation, my criminal activity, and all those things that were so wrong in my life, this man saw what I could be, and that's what he focused on.
And you listened, though. You were open to him, Ken. Why do you think you listened?
I listened because he was such an expert people picker, he knew exactly the buttons to push. The one button that he pushed that really began to affect me was he said, I'm going to teach you to talk, to sound like the people on TV.
Huh.
And at the time when I was speaking the Bahamian dialect, which sounded something like going down the road to get some switcher, hey?
No.
Right?
Forget it.
he took his time to teach me American Standard English. And in doing that, he began to positively impact my self-esteem. So much so I'd go back to the gang, and they'd be listening to me talk, and they'd say, you think you're American, eh? And I'd say, that's think. Not pink.
Good for you. What a difference that makes. That's everything to be able to talk coherently and intelligently. What a teacher he was.
That's right. And that's my work. That's my work. Hey, Joy.
Yes.
That's what I do. That's my livelihood.
That's
my livelihood is writing and speaking.
Amazing. And you were 14.
That's what the expert people does. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what the expert people do. People picker does, and I don't want people to miss that. The second person that comes into your life that you need to be looking for is the possibility vendor.
Possibility vendor. Okay.
Yeah. These people sell ideas, and they sell us on the ideas. But these are not just any ideas. These are sticky ideas. These are ideas that kind of grab a hold of our minds and hearts and won't let us go. We can't shake it off. It just haunts us and haunts us until we yield to it. And the person in my life who was this possibility vendor, as I describe in the book, is a guy by the name of Henry O'Brien. And I told you about him already. His sticky idea was what? You go to Nebraska. Nebraska will be good for you, and you'd be good for Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. And you go, and you went.
I went. I was already enrolled to go to school in North Carolina.
Again, I've got to ask you, Ken, what was it about him that your mind was open to the point that you followed his instruction?
One, he absolutely cared, and not only that, he pushed the right button. Notice that. That's the second time I'm telling you.
Okay.
He pushed the right button. And the button for me was, all right, you go to Nebraska. Nebraska will be good for you. See? Okay, so it's going to be good for me. Two, you will be good for Nebraska. Do you see it? It's exactly the kind of person I am. I don't believe in giving fluffy, all right,
mm-hmm.
inspirational speeches. I don't believe in it. I
mm-hmm.
give them,
mm-hmm.
but I give them only when I am convinced that I can also give next steps, that you get inspired and tomorrow you go and you do this differently. You change your life as a result of our time together. That's what attracted me to Nebraska, because he said, what? You will be good for Nebraska. There's that mission. And Nebraska will be good for you. There is the outcome. That's the button he pushed. Possibility vendors plant sticky ideas. And these sticky ideas will haunt us until such time as we yield to them and act upon them. And these people are around us, Joy. I mean, again, think about when did your blog talk, your radio show, how did that begin? How did that start? And I don't know anything about it. But if you could think back, there's
mm-hmm.
likely to have been somebody
mm-hmm.
who said to you something, all right, that sparked an idea. That sparked an idea. My editor talks about, you know, going into a bookstore all the time and just reading books. And the book owner, as a young child, says, someday, you know, you're going to write
mm-hmm.
books. Never forgot it. She never forgot it.
You're going to write. Well, you know, Ken, I was just overwhelmed with the fact that you went from this particular book as being self-published to getting a publisher. That is almost unheard of, and I consider that. I mean, I just wanted to stand up and applaud you, because most people don't even consider they can do such a thing. And how you did it. I mean, to me, I've been around a lot of people that just are so closed to any changes. You know, it's like, and it's apparent to me that whatever happened that brought you to the publisher and the publisher to you, what would you call that? What person was that in your life?
Charmaine is a possibility vendor.
A possibility vendor, okay.
She has ideas. Okay.
I get it.
Okay. And that's what she does. She thinks out of the box, all right, and she plants sticky ideas. Okay? She plants sticky ideas certainly in me and with me, but she also does that with on behalf of her clients. All right? And so she's the person, you know?
She's the person.
She's the person. She was the one that made this happen, because she read the book, she believed in the book. All right? The book spoke to her heart. And she placed it, you know, this was not the first publisher that offered us, by the way.
Oh.
This is the one we chose.
You chose that one. Huh. But Shamin is a sticky, what do you call it?
A possibility vendor.
A possibility vendor. And that's number two. Now we want to know number three.
All right. Now, this is where Shamin comes in again, because you see that she also has this trait as well. The third person, and you can have... People often ask me, how many of these can you be? You can be all four of them, not usually simultaneously, but you can be them in different instances and in different situations and at different times. Parents ought to be these four at different stages for their kids. So early on, the parent should focus himself or herself on being an expert people picker for their children, for obvious reasons. Obvious reasons. The second thing they should be the first person in line to be a possibility vendor, planting sticky ideas in this child's heart and mind. Okay? And the third person that we ought to be and that we need to succeed is the dream maker.
The dream maker. Ooh, I like that.
The dream makers, you know, there's this little bank in Illinois. You walk into it to get a loan, a bank loan. You are not introduced to a bank officer or a bank loan officer. You're introduced to a dream maker. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Of course.
It makes a lot of sense. And that is the image that we need to hold in our mind, that the dream maker comes along. They buy into our dreams, Joy. Has nothing to do with them, but they buy in. They volunteer to participate in helping us make our dreams come true. And
amazing.
These people will move obstacles out of the way for us. They'll jump over hurdles with us. They will use their network to make our dreams come true. And they do it all just for us.
And you, would you say you choose them and they choose you at a, what do you say, a subconscious
level?
Okay.
Absolutely. It has to be mutual, okay? Because the bona fide dream maker is attracted to somebody who's already involved with pursuing their dreams.
Okay.
Got it. All right. And they are going to hold the subject, the individual, responsible for doing their part to make the dream come true. So they are your partners. They will not be your problem solver.
No.
Okay? They're not going to take over and move you out of the way. They're going to come alongside of you. And they will feed of your enthusiasm and your ambition, and they will do whatever they can, many times using their money, using their time, using their network, using their resources to help you realize your dream. And that's what Dawn Clifton was in my life at the Gallup organization. 6 months after I joined the Gallup organization, he comes to me. He says, Ken, I'm going to be speaking for the American Society of Training and Developers. I have 4 hours to speak to them. I'm going to speak the first hour. You speak the remaining three.
Oh, my gosh, 3 hours. And what did
that's,
you?
And that's what I did. That's
you
what
did,
I did
it.
And I never stopped speaking for the Gallup organization after that. Okay?
Huh.
Marcus Buckingham is a colleague. He and I would speak on the same platform. You know, I don't know if that name means anything to you, but he is a number one best-selling author, all right, throughout the country, throughout the world. His first book was First Break All the Rules. Okay?
Oh.
The second great seller was Now Discover Your Strengths. Both those books are selling on an average 5,000 books a week.
Wow. And what is his name again?
Marcus Buckingham. Yeah. You may
Marcus
try to get him on
Buckingham.
The show.
Okay. Huh. And so whenever he came, so he saw and believed in your dream, and he opened a door for you to start doing that dream, to get it out of your head and put it into action, right?
Absolutely. Dawn Clifton was both my dream maker as well as Marcus Buckingham's dream maker, all right? And we would both attribute that to him. Wonderful man. He's deceased now, but there are many, many people around the world who could claim that from Dawn, because that's the type of person he was, dream maker. Okay, the fourth person that we need in our lives is a person I call the leader.
Hmm.
Now, leaders would see an opportunity to lead and take it for themselves. The leader sees an opportunity to lead, and they'll nudge us forward where they see it's appropriate for our leadership talents.
Okay, now say that again. They'll do what for your leadership talents?
Leaders will see an opportunity and take it for themselves.
Okay.
The leader will see an opportunity to lead and nudge you forward so that you may put your leadership talent to work, or so that you may exercise, or so that you may walk into an understanding of what your leadership capacity is.
I
so the leader will move on the side and
okay.
give you opportunities to lead.
For you to now, can you have several of these four people? You can have several different ones of the same category. Is that not right? I mean, you don't just have.
Right.
Okay.
No. And it may be in different instances. You know, you may find that there's an expert people picker that you confide in about your career. Okay. You may find that there's a very different person, a different expert people picker that you confide in for your romance.
Exactly. So it can be several different
yeah.
ones. And, you know, we have a caller on the line that's been waiting and waiting. I'm selfishly keeping you all to myself, but let me bring them up and see if it's all right with you, if they have a question to ask you.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Hello? Caller 862. Hello. Maybe they're just listening, so let me go ahead and... A lot of times people will call in and then they'll just want to listen over the phone instead of use... Yeah, so that's fine. But I wanted to be sure that they had an opportunity to ask you a question. You know, I also want to talk to you about this upcoming expo, this book expo that you're going to be part of in New York City.
Yes, yes.
I would love to hear more about that. What days are you going to be there? This is Book Expo New York City, and Daily Swan Publisher is going to have a table there?
That's right. That's right. Now, I'll be there on Friday the 29th first.
All right.
I'll be there, I think, from 10:30, and I have a book signing, I want to say, at 2:30 that afternoon.
At 2:30. Okay. And that's Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
Okay.
And then I'll be there on Saturday as well. Okay. And another book signing time, I believe it's a little earlier now. I think it's 1:30. I'll confirm all of that while we're on the air, and I'll come back and let you know.
Because that is a huge... In fact, isn't that one of the largest book fairs in the North America? I think it's a great big one.
Oh, it is. It is huge. It's in the conference center there.
Well, I wish you great success there, and we are actually going to have Casey Swanson, the CEO of Daily Swan Publishers, calling in all 3 days live from the event, and on Saturday and Sunday, we've got a co-host who's one of his books is being published by Daily Swan. And mainly what he's going to do is, if there is an author such as yourself that happens to be there at that moment, it will be like live reporting on the spot, so it should be very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so glad to have met you, Ken. You know, I'm really hoping that everyone... I'm going to let you give out your website.
Okay. My website, very easy, ktawebsite.com. So ktawebsite.com.
ktawebsite.com.
Yes.
And your book...
Ken,
go ahead.
T as in Tucker, A as in Associates, website.com.
.com. And are you fascinated? The four people you need to succeed. Ken, this book I know is available through Amazon.com. Is it available other places online? Is it an e-book or what?
No, it's not an e-book as yet, but it
All right.
Available in stores. I think that it's going to be available next month in all of the major stores, Barnes & Nobles, etc.
And it's really an easy book because I'm looking, you know, it's one of the type of books that it's not going to, you can read it and not have to sit and just, you know, it's not like you're going to need a dictionary with you to understand it. And I'm looking right now, it says, how can I get the most benefit from the dream maker in my life, which is great because you're going to give tips to everyone when you bring the people into your life and when they bring you in their lives. What do you do with them? You know, how do you best handle it? Does it just handle itself? Have you ever been like you thought this was the right person, Ken, that was going to lead you to your next step, and then something happened and your intuition said, nope, got to go on?
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's a part of, you know, our own people picking ability or not, you know?
Sure.
Because that's what it's about, you know. I mean, obviously we are picking and choosing the people who we let into our lives. We're picking and choosing the people who we spend, you know, our lives with.
Sure.
Or any length of time, you know. And so I think many people will find that as they start this journey in earnest, that there may be some false starts, but you will know. I mean, you will really, really know and be absolutely amazed at how the right partnership with any one of these four persons really changes your outcomes, not only from a professional perspective, but also from a personal perspective. When we end up in the right relationships, either at work or in
right.
our personal lives, everybody benefits from it, everybody. Hey, let me just correct the times there. On Friday, the book signing is 11:30.
All right.
On Friday, and on Saturday the book signing is 1 to 2:30. Okay.
Oh, okay, 1 to 2:30. And what about Sunday? You're not going to be there Sunday.
No, I'm not there.
You're not there. Where do you see yourself? I'm curious, before we close the show, where do you see yourself, Ken, in 5 years? What is Ken Tucker going to be doing?
A lot of the same things. Next year we'll have a new book out. We are already writing on it. We're working on it as we speak. It'll be a book that speaks about the wonderful aspects of work. We look at Dilbert's characters, and we see work portrayed as this dismal place where we are always laughing at the other guy's malady because it's so much like our own, you know, where we have a mean boss or we have a talkative colleague, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Work ideally is actually designed to be an automatic expression of the appetite, aptitude, and ability that's been placed within us. I'll say that again. That ideally work is designed to be a automatic expression of the natural aptitude, appetite, and ability that's been placed within us.
Okay. So that makes it a very positive experience to work instead of if we totally understand that.
Okay. So yeah. So as soon as next year, that book will be out.
Great.
We are very much involved with just spreading the good news of vaccination. We are going to be. We just returned from the Bahamas where we spoke for 3 days last week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting prepared for a 2-week speaking engagement in the UK. We'll be speaking for the Henley School of Business and some other groups there in the UK.
My goodness.
We expect we'll be in Tempe, Arizona next week. We'll be back in the Bahamas for another speaking engagement.
My goodness.
After that, we'll be in Minnesota for a speaking engagement after that. So I expect that we're going to be very, very busy making, if you please, disciples of people who can likewise discover their fascination and help others discover theirs. That's what we expect. That's what we anticipate.
Do you have someone that sets up all your travel arrangements and or do you do a lot of it yourself, or do you have quite a group around you? You all work together?
Yeah, we have a group. We have a group. We have several people involved with that. Are you asking that as to who the contact would be?
No, I actually just was curious because that's a huge endeavor. You're talking about flying all over the country with all these different places.
And around the world, yeah. And you have to keep it straight, you know?
Yeah.
So I have Katie helps me out with all of the travel arrangements and
right.
kind of keeps me on track.
So you're able not only to do everything that you've done up until this point in your life, but you're also pulling in the exact people, Ken, that you need to be able to continue to grow and develop and share with all of us. You are absolutely delightful, and I am so pleased you were a guest on our show. I'm just honored, and you are welcome back any time. I just wish you the very, very best. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. So encouraging, and I'm very intrigued. I'm going to research you further because I want to learn more about the years you spent with Mother Teresa. That's very
ah well, great. Thank you, and thank you, Shamin. I hope you're out there listening because she's great too. I just love her.
Oh, she is. She's such a fighter. She's such a wonderful woman and great mother and excellent partner. All right?
She's amazing. Yeah. And I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, Alan Levy, who is the founder, inventor. We would not be here without him. I don't know if you know anything about it, but he started Blog Talk Radio. His father was dying, Ken. He wanted a way to share with many people his feelings about his father's death and his love for his father. And he came up with an idea that involved communicating with the whole world. And I always bring up Alan Levy because without him, we wouldn't be here. And I'm really grateful. And I want to tell everyone out there to get Ken Tucker's book, Are You Fascinated? The Four People You Need to Succeed. And all of that information is right there on the description page of today's show. And I am going to end it one more time with Let's Play by Amelia Bloom, because I love to play. Ken, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Let's play. I'm the kind of girl, a little mystique, and you're the only one I've ever met who can't handle it. You climb my wall, or down my door. I think you might be just the kind of boy I've been waiting for. I wanna get you out on the floor and dance until my feet are numb. And when you get close, it's like rubber in my bones. And by the look in your eyes, you're melting down into the stage of stone. Hey, hey, people say you're wild and unpredictable.
And I want to tell everyone. Oops. Amelia Bloom wanted to keep playing, and why not? I wanted to tell everyone again, thank you so much for being here. Ken Tucker is fascinating, and that's the name of his book, Are You Fascinated? And our next show is going to be live from New York City at the Book Expo America. And Daily Swan publisher CEO Casey Swanson will be calling in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for a very brief time just to give us live reporting. And he will have some of his own authors talking if they're around at that moment. And he may be grabbing someone from off the floor at that moment. So I'm real excited and just pleased that he's going to be with us. And everyone out there, I love you, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful evening. Thank you so much. Good night, all.